Let's read our Port Acres Creed of the Week together. If you're there, let's go ahead and stand, and let's read that together out loud. We're on number four of our Calvary Port Acres Creed. Ready? We believe that man was created by and for God, and that all people are sinners by nature and practice, and are born separated from God. So just kind of keep that idea, that thought of as we're trying to memorize these. Number four, what are we? We're created, and how are we born? We're born as a sinner by nature and practice, right? Separated from God. So if you just stop there, it gets really sad. Like, oh, that's how you are. Sorry. Right? But remember, there's a number five, and there's number six, and a number seven, right? So, all right, y'all be seated. Thank you so much. Well, church, happy anniversary. 84 years. 84 years, yeah. 84 years of serving God's kingdom in Port Acres, Texas. That's a lot of years serving the community, isn't it? 84 years, that's pretty amazing. How many of y'all were here 84 years ago at the very beginning? Anybody at all? Ron, will you raise your hand? You weren't here 84 years ago. All right. How many of y'all are going to be here 84 years from now? Anybody at all? She might be. We should mark this down. She's the only one that's young enough, maybe 84 years from now. So mark this down, 84 years from now. Let's see if she's still alive. Brought it in her little Bible. She was here 84 anniversary, right? And I pray that if Christ doesn't return first, this church has at least another 84 years in it. And keep going and get excited about what God is going to be doing in our community through Calvary Baptist Church in Port Acres. And so congratulations, church, for 84 years. And so we're going to have a special anniversary thing. We're going to have pot faith dinners. Remember, we don't believe in luck, so you have to believe in faith. So pot faith dinners, you remember that from Utah? we're going to have a big old huge hoedown and singing, and we're going to have all sorts of fun time. We're going to have a special guest speaker and all that, you know, and then COVID, you know. So that just means the 85th will even be even better, right? And so next year, 85 years. So we did try to do a little bit different. We had live music going, and I'll have a special message for our anniversary Sunday today. It's not as exciting of an anniversary as sometimes they are, you know, when you have guest speakers and all the fun stuff. But I'm just looking forward to 85 year next year, because we'll just have a big old hootenanny, right? And we'll do some jigs and whatever else. Yeah, square dancing, whatever else we do in the country here. We'll have some fun. We'll just do that, all right? Man, I really want this church to be here 84 years from now. And I think it could happen. Churches are closing their doors every week. I heard something like every week, 10 to 15 churches in the state of Texas close down. Something like that. And so it's kind of scary to think about that. So we don't want that to happen here. Amen? All right. But for that to happen, I think we all have to feel like we belong. But to feel like we belong to something bigger than ourselves. Those that visit us have to feel the excitement in the air that there's a sense of belonging in this place. When this church began 84 years ago, there was an excitement of something new, something bigger than themselves. 84 years ago, whoever was starting it together, sitting together, having a little planning meeting, and they're like, this is going to be exciting, guys. You excited? I'm excited. Let's go start a church together. And they started looking at land and building buildings, and they were excited, right? There's something bigger than themselves. When this building was built, no doubt there was a new excitement. Look at the new sanctuary that we have, a new stained glass windows, and we're excited. Look at all that we could do for Jesus. How many of y'all were here during that time when this building was opened? Anybody remember? No? See? So when we think about the excitement back then, of a new building being built and the people excited, like, look what we could do, look how big it is and how many people could come. You know, there was some excitement back then, no doubt. Something bigger than themselves. But like in most churches, the excitement fades away over time. Those that were here during that time 84 years ago are no longer alive. Those that were here when this building was built, no longer here. The excitement begins to fade. Visitors come and they feel like they're a guest in someone's home. You know that feeling. You know, hey, come and hang out at our house for a week or two. And you go to the bathroom. Can I open the medicine cabinet? Like, you know, what do they say? Fish and visitors in your home are the same because about 3 days they start to stink, something like that. Except for these guys. I think Angie, you stayed like a month with us one time, didn't you? Helped us paint. Like she was like, you stay as long as you want, girl. There are friends from that travel around with maps and full time and help churches, whatever. So I'm glad they're here this morning with us. But you know, when you know visitors, you start to have that kind of idea like, can I get water out of the refrigerator? And you open a cabinet and can I use this cup? You know, that kind of feeling of kind of awkwardness. But do you want our visitors when they walk through the door to feel that same way? I mean, so often that's what happens with churches. Like, this is my church. You're walking into my room and my house. And you've got to, like, get permission before you can do stuff when you come in, you know. And that's the way people sometimes feel when they're coming into a new church. They don't feel like they belong yet. Until after they've been here a while, and the lady that's doing the kitchen finally relinquishes her job that she's been doing for 80 years because she can no longer see the kitchen anymore. And finally, some new young people come in like, I've been in church for 20 years and haven't been able to do anything. Now I get to do something. And now they finally belong after 20 years of being in the church, right? It happens to churches all the time. So we want visitors, especially those looking to stay, to feel the excitement, to feel like there's something that they can belong to bigger than themselves. And even if we don't have a new building, even if we don't have something new to start, they should feel that all the time because of Jesus. Everyone needs a place to belong, a place that fits you like your favorite pair of shoes. I have some favorite pair of shoes, and I've had to give them up recently because, you know, when they have a hole in them, they don't really do the job anymore. And so you're going to have to give them up. And that favorite old pair of shoes or that favorite T-shirt you have that's got like a hole right here and paint stain right here, but it just fits you so good. Those gloves you put on, it's just this perfect glove, you know. Everyone wants to feel that way in church. They want to feel like they walk into something and just feel at comfort when they walk in, like a cup of coffee on a cool morning or maybe a donut with a cold glass of milk. I don't know. But that's the way God made us. Did you know that? God made us to feel like that. He didn't make us to be isolated. He didn't make us to be alone. There's a TV show out there called Alone. And you can go watch that TV show. It's on Netflix, Alone. And they literally take 10 people and they put them alone out in some crazy place in Alaska or wherever, Canada, or wherever, some crazy frozen tundra place. And they put them alone. And most of them tap out. They call the sat phone. I'm done. 3 or 4 days, maybe a week. Not because they're scared of lions and tigers and bears, but because they're alone. They didn't realize the impact of being in silence without other people and what that would do to them. And they say that they've done this studies, NASA's done them, where they put people in rooms all by themselves to see how long they can live without any interaction with people. And it's like 3 or 4 months before they start going crazy. Because God made us to be with other people. And there's a lot of people that say, you know, on Facebook you'll see this log cabin. How many of y'all, if you could give up TV and football and whatever else, could go live in this log cabin, you know, and for the rest of your life? Everybody's like, I would, yeah. And about 6 months of that, you'd be going, can I go down to Walmart just so I can see people? Right? We're made to be with people. Even though we liked isolation for a short time, we're made to be with people. He made us to be together. He made us to experience the ups and downs with life with each other. And even to experience that life with him together. Everywhere where you look, there are clear indications that people are hungering for fellowship, for community, for a place to belong. Gangs, riots, social media, community organizations, and even church gatherings are all symptoms of people wanting to be a part of something and wanting to belong to something. The Bible uses a lot of metaphors to describe the church. It talks about a body or a flock, but one that is used most of all of them is a family. I love what Paul says to the new members of the gatherings of those in Ephesus. He says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You walk in that door, you become a believer, you're no longer a stranger or a foreigner. Now you're one of us. You belong. I love that. If you're a believer this morning or gathered with us, you are no longer strangers. You belong somewhere now. You belong here. Even if you're just visiting with us and don't live here, you still belong here. Maybe for you, you feel very comfortable here. The gathering of believers is home for you. You walk in here and you feel like, oh, this is, I belong here. But maybe you've never felt like you really belonged somewhere. Maybe you've never understood the importance of being a part of something as God's family. Maybe you've never thought yourself worthy to be accepted in God's family. Today, know this truth. You belong here. Know that truth. If you do not believe me, then believe what God says about being a part of a community of believers. Believe how special He thinks being in community is with you. He calls a gathering of believers who have come together in unity in Christ a church. A gathering of people that have come together in a unity of Christ for a purpose, He calls it a church. A gathering of community of believers for a purpose. And here's what He says about this church. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "As Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." It wasn't a building that He gave Himself for. It wasn't an organizational structure He gave Himself for. It wasn't some role that you put your name on, you become members of some role, and you take that letter with you or whatever. That's not what He died for. That's not what He loves. He loves the church that are the people. The organization is the organisms of living people, you, coming together as a church. I would think the church is pretty important to Christ if He's willing to give Himself for it. Amen? All throughout the Bible, God talks about coming together and being in community with others. God believes and teaches us that belonging to something is important and that we need to belong to something. He says, not only should you, I think belonging is important, but you should belong to something. The Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. Here's what he said about belonging in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. He says, "Two are better than one, because there is a good reward for their labor together. For if they fall, then one will help up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, then they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm by himself? And if someone might overpower another by himself, two together can withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." He's saying two people are better than one. You gain something by being in community together with others. You belong here. You belong together. They say of these mighty redwoods out there in California and Oregon, these mighty redwoods are huge, tallest trees ever. They're giant, giant trees. They reach the skies. I mean, like they're mountains. They're huge, huge trees. But their root system is very shallow comparatively. You look at a mighty oak, and just as tall as it is, it's as deep as the roots are, but not there. These root systems are very shallow comparatively to these big trees. How come they don't fall over? Because all their roots intermingle together, and they become as one mass. So you can't, the tree can't fall down because there's 100 other trees around it that are all holding it up through its root system. This is what God is saying. We come together. Our roots are connected together in Christ, and we are better than being alone. The writer of Hebrews also talks about being together in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. He says, "Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some." Now, you may have heard that verse before. You may have heard it, someone say something like this. You need to be in church every time the doors are open. God commands us to meet together. There it is. There's a commandment from God, Hebrews 10:25, to meet together. So you need to be here. You belong in church, and it's a sin not to be here. Now, you may have heard it that way. That's not really what the verse says. Now, I could take it out of context, make it that way, and make you feel guilty for not being here. That's not what the verse says. In fact, in context, it is something much greater than that. Look at this verse in context in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. He says, let us consider how to spur one another to love and to good works. So let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves as a manner of some, but let us exhort one another, especially as you see the day approaching. Think about that thought when talking about living life in community with others. Let us consider one another. Let us think about one another. Let us think about what's going on. So Sunday morning, you wake up, you're getting dressed. What are you going to wear, whatever? Have you thought about everyone else you're going to see that morning? Have you considered them? Have you gone over in your mind, oh, yeah, Josh will be there. Can't wait to see Josh. He needs some encouragement. Oh, yeah, Miss Gay's going to be there. She's so pretty. She always has her hair done right. I can't wait to see her. Oh, man, I can't wait to hear Pastor Nick lead the song today. And I want to pray for Pastor Nick and Miss Jessica. You know, and you start considering one another, right? That's what it says. Consider one another. Think about each other. How are you supposed to do that? So that way I can spur you, right, to love and do good works. So as you're getting ready in the morning, you put your pants on, putting your socks on, putting your shoes on, tying your shoes, whatever you're getting ready, and you start thinking, man, I haven't seen Miss Kat in a couple weeks. When I see her, I'm going to tell her how much I love her, how much she looks good today. Spur it on. You do look good today. Spur them to love. Hey, I had an idea. If we could do some stuff around the church, and I've got this idea, could you come and help me with that? Spurring them to good works. Hey, I've got a friend of mine that needs to know about Jesus, and you're really good at talking with him. Will you go with me and tell him? See, that's spurring them to love and do good works. That's what it says. Consider, think about how you can spur one another into love and good works when you gather, right? Don't neglect to meet together as some do, but meet together so you can encourage one another. That's how we do it. You belong here, not because it's a sin not to be here, but because you're needed and you need us. So when we think about going to church, you're like, oh, I hope the music's really good because I really need encouragement. I hope Pastor brings a message that I really need to learn something today. And last week, I wasn't fed like I normally am fed. And I just think that your church wasn't the same as it was last week. I hope they're going to feed me today with good spiritual word or whatever. If not, I may have to go find another family to belong to. It's amazing how many times I've heard that before. Then you're not coming for the right reason. Why don't we come together? To spur one another, to excite them into love and good works together. You belong here because you need to be encouraged, and we need to be encouraged by you. So how do we encourage one another? Well, first of all, we need to know we belong to something bigger than ourselves. Ask yourself this question. Who do you belong to? Did you know that you have a choice as who you belong to? It's your choice. You can either belong to God or you can not belong to God, in which case you belong to someone else, not God. Right? You have a choice. You can either belong to God or not belong to God. If you choose God, you say, well, I feel like I belong to God, or I want to belong to God. Then you say, okay, if you choose God, then believe this truth. Christ died on the cross for you to take away the punishment for your sins. And then he rose from the dead to give you eternal life. Wow. I belong to God, and that's what he did for me. Christ died for the church because he loved you that much. If you choose God to believe that truth, the Bible says that when you put your trust in that and you believe that, that he comes and he instantly cleans you of all guilt and shame. He shows you that you have already been forgiven of your sins. He made you complete. He made you whole. You're adopted as one of his children, and now you're part of his family. You belong. You belong because I choose God. Now, you don't choose God. You choose someone else. Remember they say no choice is a choice? Right? No choice is you're choosing someone else. What do you belong to then? Someone bigger than you, but not in a good way. Because you're not part of a family. You're out there really alone. And you'll die alone. And nobody wants that. So God says, choose me, have a family. Don't choose me, and don't. because I created you to be part of my family. That's what God says. But I'm not going to force it on you. I mean, think about kids are growing up. We all of us have been born, right? Anybody not been born? Okay. So all of us have been born. None of us got to choose who we're born to. Anybody get to choose a mom and dad? I didn't get to choose mine, right? So none of us choose who we belong to. We're born mom, dad, whatever. Even if they didn't want us and they gave us up for adoption, whatever, we didn't get to choose who adopted us. We just kind of got sucked around the system. And next thing you know, you're with someone. You're like, here's my new family. Okay, here I am. No one gets to choose that family. And sometimes that family is really great. And we're like, wow, I'm really glad that family chose me. And, you know, I had nothing to do with it, but I'm glad it happened. And sometimes, not so much. We didn't get to choose those things. When we get bigger, we start wanting to choose a little bit more. We want to be kind of in charge a little bit more. But God put that in us. God put that in us, a desire to belong to something bigger than ourselves, something bigger than just this family that's raising me. He says, I want you to belong to my family. Now, what if God said, just like your mom and dad made you and you didn't get to choose, just like those adopted family adopted you, didn't get to choose, I'm going to force you to become mine. You didn't get to choose it. God's just going to force it to happen. I'm going to choose only a third of the population and the rest of the people, too bad, so sad. Did you know there's religions that believe that? That God's pre-choosing who's going to be there and you don't have a choice about it? Yeah. So that's not what God says. So he says, I want you to choose me. I want you to choose to be in my family. And when you do choose that, oh, I've got some really good stuff for you. But I'm not going to talk to you about that right now. Let's just figure out who you want to choose. Once you choose, then here it is. You're part of my family now. You belong to something bigger. God purchased you with the precious blood of Jesus. You belong to him. His spirit lives within you. You have become an heir to the throne of the King of all kings. You bear his name as an adopted child. You have full authority to call him Abba Father. Daddy, I am yours. I belong to your family. I belong to you. Right? Something bigger than ourselves. So who do you belong to? The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, yet to all who receive him, he gave the power to become sons of God. This verse is already here before we talked about it last night. I just want you to know that. To those who believed in his name, you get to become the son of God, right? You get to choose it. Who are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You are born. You get to choose to be part of that. You belong to God. You are now a son of God or a daughter of God. To those who choose God, those who receive him, he gave them the right to become children. Children not born of natural means, but of spiritual birth. Galatians 3:26, I love this verse. It says, you are all sons of God. Oops, those online not seeing that. Sorry about that. There we go. You are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So who do you belong to? If you belong to God, you're a part of his family. You're part of something bigger than yourselves, right? And you're part of his family, and he has given you a way to be in community with others, to become part of his family. And he says, now, as a family, you don't just go out in the world and be like, okay, son, have a good day. Good luck with that. No, he says, son, get with the other sons. Get with the other daughters. Y'all get together, and y'all hang out together. And you know what? It'd be cool if y'all did it every day. Every day gather together and broke bread together and worship me together. And y'all just do that every day. I'm going to call it the church. Ecclesia. You're going to come together and you're going to gather and you're going to worship. And we're excited. That church is going to grow and grow and grow. In fact, the first day, 3,000 people will be added to that church. Y'all going to start getting smaller homes. Start breaking up into little smaller groups. What? We can't all meet together? We have to meet in home groups or cell groups every day? Well, I didn't know that. Biblical, right there. 6,000 people didn't meet in one person's home. Come on, people, right? So broken small groups, some little small Bible studies, right? They broke up every day. They met together for years and years and years and years until someone said, let's just meet on Sundays because we're busy the rest of the week. Let's build a big building as a mantra to God and we can worship a building and just come and meet for 20 minutes on Sunday. And we're going to call that, let's go to church. Now we've kind of completely, God says, no, I created you to be part of something bigger than that. A movement of people gathering together for a purpose every day of the week, calling each other, talking to each other, being part of the church out there in community. So the community sees there's something going on with all those people. They're always moving for something for Jesus. That's what he created us for. Did you know he created the Jews for the same purpose? He called them his church, his bride. Yeah, his church, the nation of Israel in the Old Testament was his church. And he said, and their purpose was to go out and get other people to come into their religion, their faith. And also they went, no, this is ours. This book right here, it's written in Hebrew. Mine, you can't have it. You're a dirty Gentile. You can't even be part of us. He said, wait a minute, I gave provision so they could be part of you. No, we're not going to let them. All right, well, let's start over then. Start over. He said, Paul out to the Gentiles, didn't he? He said, Paul, go get them Gentiles, bring them in here. Let them be grafted into the nation of Israel and be grafted in. That's what it says in Romans 12, right? And so we get to be part of that family. He says, good. Now you Gentiles, you go do it. And we did it for a while. And then all of a sudden, we're like, I kind of like our Sunday morning for an hour sitting in a building on a nice soft pew with air conditioning. We went to church Sunday. He's like, right? God says, you are something bigger than this. This is your church, and I want you to be part of that church. I don't want you to be out there alone. I want you to be part of that, together encouraging and loving each other as he loves us. As Solomon said this, he said, we are better when there is more than one of us. There is strength in numbers. Belonging to a community of believers provides strength. Many times it seems that there's never enough volunteers to go around. None of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. The early church was a hodgepodge of people, a variety of backgrounds. It was so crazy. We don't see churches today like that. Back then, you had Jews and Gentiles, and these Gentiles were anybody that wasn't a Jew, right? But these Gentiles were also mixed up. Some were pagan worshipers. They killed their children for God just a week ago, and now they love Jesus, right? I mean, that's how they were off. They had fishermen, and fishermen were like low class, and the taxmen, and they were low class. And, you know, you had the rich people, and all these low class people came in, and all these poor rich people came together, and all these from different religions, different languages, different everything all came together. The first Sunday morning of the church in Jerusalem. Can you imagine that one? And then one guy started speaking, like, we don't understand you in our language. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they could hear them in their own language, right? So God said, let's just spread this out to everyone. Let's get all together. You read 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. What is it talking about? Hey, guys, let's keep our mind on Jesus, and we don't have to worry about all the different small little petty stuff that goes on. See, he wanted us to be part of something bigger than ourselves, and our focus would be about him as we come together. This background of diversity coming together. And back then, they found a way to make it work, a unity in Christ. That's what we're supposed to do, coming together in differences of opinions and different ideas and different backgrounds. Did you know we can have some Democrats in here voting for someone other than the one we want them to vote for? We can have some Republicans in here voting for someone other than we want them to vote for. We got some independents in here voting for some. It doesn't matter. We can come together and still love everybody. That's why I don't talk about voting a lot of times, because sometimes it just divides people. And it's okay if you vote for someone else. I don't care. You don't even know who I vote for. You might be shocked. The point is, it doesn't matter, because our focus is on Jesus, and we come together and unifying in Jesus, and we come together and belonging to something bigger than ourselves. Belonging to a community of believers provides support. Someone said two are better than one, because if one of them falls down, the other one can help them up. And if someone is alone and falls, it's too bad, because there's no one there to help him if he's alone. That's what it says. Wouldn't that be sad? Miss Marie, you remember that time I had you come up here and lay down? And Marie lay down. And what we do sometimes, someone falls down, we stand over them. And we're like, well, if you can hurry up and get up, we can do a lot better together. Or sometimes we're down, we're like going, you're always falling down, you stupid Christian. Right? Why don't you just go find a place of your own? And when you're ready to stand up, we can get together. Right? Or we do the more superior thing. Here, I'm above you. Here, let me help you come up to me, right? But that illustration I did with Marie is I got down there on her level, because we're both together. We're both fallen. We're both broken. And we're laying down going, okay, can we get up together? Let's do this, you know? Right? That's what he gave us a church for. To when we fall, there's someone else falling as well. Yeah, I fell just like that. Yeah, we're both, you know, let's just help each other get up, right? That's the purpose. Having a church family that cares for each other. John 16:33, we think everything's gonna be great, but look what John 16:33 says. It says, in the world you will have tribulation. Thanks. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Right? There's gonna be troubles. Come together, get together. Help each other out, bear one another's burdens. Right? Galatians 6:2, that's what it says there. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're all gonna fail, we're all gonna fall down. There's gonna be burdens and oppression and all sorts of things out there. Let's get together and gather together and spur one another to love and good works together and bear one another's burdens. And it says, so fulfill the law of God. The law of Christ. The law of Christ is just this, the natural outflowing of what happens when believers come together and bear one another's burdens. What happens? Love. Christ is love. And then so he says, I want you all to come together and you're fulfilling my calling of coming together and bear one another's burdens. Having a church family that cares about you and is willing to lift you up whenever you fall down, that's what's needed. Solomon said, two people are better off than one because two people lying close together can keep each other warm. How can one be warm by alone? Well, yeah, that's talking about a physical sense, right? You're cold out in the desert and you have someone there to warm you. But think about a spiritual coldness. You're all by yourself out there and you can't figure out how to get spurred on because you're all by yourself out there. But he says, come together. Let's spur one another to love and good works and bear one another's burdens and come together and be warm in Christ together. Get fired up for Jesus and his word together. Get excited about what God is doing in our lives together. Come together. Belonging to a community of believers provides spiritual warmth. People say to me all the time, well, I can get stirred and warmed at home. I can watch you online. I can watch TV. There's all sorts of great preachers out there. I watch this guy at 9, this guy at 10, this guy at 11, I get this at 12. I'm as warm as you can be. I can get warm at a zoo. But there's something about coming together as his church in one place that cannot be matched being at home and cannot be matched being at a zoo. Something about coming together and worshiping together. Your passion for Jesus, your love for God and for his people is warmed as we gather together. Belonging to a church family that you worship with, that you fellowship with, that you encourage each other with, the fans of flames and keeps each other spiritually warm. Maybe your family is far away and you're here in this area and you feel like you're alone. Maybe you could just use a new friend or two. You belong here. You belong here. Maybe your family is close by, but they're not. They don't know Jesus like you want to know Jesus in your life, and so you kind of feel isolated. Come together. You belong here. God does not just call us to believe. He calls us to belong. The entire Bible is a story of God building a family, a family that will support each other, that will strengthen each other, that will encourage each other in love, that will help each other with all good works for his kingdom coming together. Now, some people say, well, I don't need other people. I'm kind of a loner. I don't need your encouragement. I'm good. Well, maybe they need your encouragement. Maybe it's not about what you need. Maybe it's about what they need. That's why we come together. You say, well, I'm spiritually fine. I can read my Bible at home. I can study. I don't even need to have church. I don't need a preacher to preach to me. I can say, you probably can. You probably can learn more than what you can learn on Sunday morning from me, and probably should. But that's not what the church is for. The church wasn't just so that way you can get some knowledge and I can do that at home. The church wasn't just so that way you can be encouraged when you come Sunday morning that, you know, hear some good music. You can do that at home. The church was for us coming together to encourage each other, to bear one another's burdens. And I don't care how special you think you are or how great you are to say, I don't need anybody else. I can do it on my own. You need other people. And your statement of saying that tells me so much that you're hurting inside. You do need more people than you think you do, or you're allowing yourself to see. We need to be encouraged by each other. We need to be bearing one another's burdens. We need to be others bearing our burdens. If you're already a believer and you already and are in need of a place to belong, And I'd love for someone just to come and say, I want to be part of this church family and belong here and make it official that this is it. Maybe you're here today and you've never joined God's family, and maybe you're online and you're watching and you're like, I've never made that step of faith. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't feel like I belong. Man, I'd love for you to call me or maybe come talk to me in my office this week. I'd love to show you how you can be part of God's family and how you can belong to a local church organized together and work. If you're at home watching this morning, I want you to know that you belong here. The word church is a gathering of individuals being a community together for a purpose. And watching online, I know we're in the middle of this pandemic thing, but in my heart, I believe there's some people are getting used to just watching it at home and enjoying that. And if you're watching this morning, please don't be offended. I think there's people all over this country that are doing the same thing. They're getting used to the backyard, coffee in hand, still wearing pajamas, watching church online, and they're missing the unity of coming together and belonging to something bigger than themselves. And we miss you. Let me end with this verse, Romans 14:7. It says this, for none of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. For if we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and living. You're not here to live alone. You're not here to die alone. You're here to die and to live in Christ. And doing it together with one another. So as we have a time of worship and song in just a little bit, if there's a way that I can come to, that I can help you find a place to belong, you know, and I'd love for you to come talk to me, or maybe you just want to come and to the front here and just pray and just ask God to give you guidance in this. But I want to tell you this. You belong here. And you belong here. Same sentence, but where the emphasis is, it's just a little bit different. You belong here. And you belong here. And I want you to know that this church desires more than anything else for people to belong together in community together as we love Christ and live in Christ together. Amen. Let me pray with you this morning.